Lupus LA would like to thank our generous sponsors for their support of the Your Story, Our Fight podcast. Emerge Business Solutions serves as a personal and professional CFO for clients across a wide spectrum of industries. They handle financial affairs with integrity and transparency. Gemini Beauty believes in beauty for a cause, and in their case, the cause is lupus. The team at Gemini is changing the skincare game for good. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Lupus LA podcast, Your Story, Our Fight. I'm your host, Adam Selkowitz. Thank you to our sponsors for allowing us to tell these really important stories of lupus patients like our guest today. Let me introduce you to Kay Daniels. Kay is a model and an actress and a lupus advocate. She can be found on Instagram as I'm the Only Kay. Which I think is a very cool handle. And we are happy to know you and happy to have you on the podcast and hear your lupus story. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
So tell me, I know you were diagnosed when you were 14 years old. So tell me about your childhood. Where'd you grow up and what led to your ultimate diagnosis?
So I am originally from Oakland, California, or the San Francisco Bay Area. That's a little bit more of an easier label. And I've been there, you know, all my life. That's where I was when I was originally diagnosed. I've done a lot of moving around since then, but my diagnosis happened at home back in the Bay Area. I was a high school student, freshman year of high school, and it was actually spring break. You know, that 1 week of, you know, spring break that you get off of school to hang with your friends or what have you. And I spent the week at my cousin's house. And we, you know, we're just doing random things, hanging out, going for walks, hanging out with friends. And I noticed that throughout that week, I started to experience swelling within my hands and feet. And I wasn't really sure what the issue was. I was a little confused, but I kind of just bypassed it. But it was not going away. It wasn't going down. You know, I thought maybe I was just moving around too much. I was doing a little too much, you know, strenuous activity with my cousin. So I just didn't think anything of it. Of course, I let my parents know, but, you know, it was the first couple of days, so we didn't really pay much attention to it. As the week continued to go on, it got to the point where I couldn't dress myself anymore. I couldn't put my shoes on by myself. I couldn't put my jacket on or my shirt. It was hard to do virtually anything. So I began to get a little concerned. I had to leave my cousin's house early, you know, get picked up by my parents. And they took me to the doctor to get tested to determine that I had rheumatoid arthritis. They did some further testing to see, you know, what that was a symptom of to come down to the conclusion of lupus. And again, I was 14. So this was, you know, I didn't know what lupus was at that age. I'd never even heard of it.
Yep. I was 16. I had the same, very similar story in terms of, you know, one day you never heard the word lupus, the next day you have it. And but it seems like a very fast, I mean, I will say, to get diagnosed so quickly after your symptoms started is pretty rare. What was that total time period just from the onset of symptoms to the diagnosis?
About a time frame of 2 weeks.
Wow.
All within 2 weeks.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then how quickly did you respond to your initial treatment?
They took me in immediately. Like the next day they had put me on treatment and I was getting maybe like 60 milligrams of prednisone in their infusion center. I had to stay in the hospital for about 4 days while I took the treatment. And then, you know, we started on a plan. I had a rheumatologist, a pediatric rheumatologist, Miss Elizabeth Shaw. That was the best doctor that I've ever had. She was very thorough, very hands-on and very quick. She didn't waste any time with me because they did say that it was, although the symptoms had just persisted, there was still this inflammation going on within my body that I wasn't aware of. So she was like, well, now that we know, we have to get on this. So they immediately admitted me and, you know, kept me there to do the infusions for like maybe 4 or 5 days until I went home and got my proper medication for routine.
You get this diagnosis, you're in high school, you're 3/4 of the way through the year. It's your freshman year, new friends, new activities, new experiences. Tell me, what was that like? And how did lupus sort of change your trajectory there?
It was something that was very hard to swallow. Because, you know, before this diagnosis, I was a regular kid doing regular things with regular friends, regular crushes, you know, regular high school sweetheart relationships, regular goals. And the second that lupus came about, everything changed for me in terms of appearance, in terms of mental health, in terms of, you know, coming to school and being in class like a normal kid. Like, I had to leave early for doctor's appointments at this time, and not being able to participate in things because of the physical ailments that I now have. And during that time, my friends were not very supportive. You know, we're kind of young. We just got into high school. We're still kind of selfish in terms of being a child. And we haven't really mastered the level of like support and comfort and compassion and really being there for someone. So when I got diagnosed, no one was there for me. The friends that I thought I had were not my friends. They couldn't really understand what I was going through. So they just decided not to really converse with me at all. And me being the person that I am, I took it very personal. I was very emotional about it because I didn't understand why. You know, I considered them my friend, and I was naturally supportive of them and whatever they had going on, just because of who I am as a person, as I mentioned. So to experience this life change and then run into, you know, the friends I thought I had end up not being the friends that I thought I had, it was an eye opener for me. And ever since then, I've moved kind of cautiously in regard to who accepts me for me and who's really just around because they want to be around and choose not to be around later when they realize that it's tough being my friend, you know?
I think that's really powerful. I mean, I've spoken to a lot of teenagers with lupus, and I think you're not alone in that experience. Did you find that as you got older, as you got into the sophomore, junior, senior year, that you were able to make a friend or two that did understand, that mature, it was mature enough?
I did. But it probably took a couple years, maybe junior year, going on to senior years, when I really started to kind of find myself in lupus. Ninth grade and 10th grade were still a little bit of a juggle. I had gained a lot of weight from the prednisone and just all of the other medications that they had me on. And I was dealing with a lot of, like I said, physical ailments. So I had to do things in PE, like stay out of the sun when they were doing their warmups on the basketball court. I had to sit on the side and stay in the shade, and I couldn't walk the, track with my friends like I used to, because it was too much sunlight and they didn't really understand, nor did they care. They just kind of moved on with their lives, and I just had to sit on the sidelines and, you know, kind of watch everybody continue to live their lives normally. And that really hit me. So by junior year, I had actually moved to North Carolina with my mother, and I started a whole new high school experience. So at that point, I was able to kind of reintroduce myself and try to make new friends and kind of, like I said, learn myself and what lupus is, which gave me more confidence and allowed me to learn how to work on myself so that I could be the person that I wanted to be. Because I felt out of place trying to figure out who I was and all of the physical appearance changes that I went through. It was hair loss, it was weight gain, it was swelling and inflammation and stiffness and having to use like crutches and canes and just a complete transformation of my life. So by the time junior year came, I really was able to kind of hone in on who I was and how I wanted to introduce myself and represent myself. So it was easier for me to, you know, gain friends because I was a little more confident in having lupus, and I could actually educate them on what I was going through as opposed to not knowing what I'm going through and trying to get people to understand at the same time while I was trying to understand too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's I totally identify with that. And I think so as you're approaching the end of high school, what's the thought process on the next steps, you know, and how much did lupus influence post high school?
Well, once I learned about, you know, what comes with having this disease, this physical illness, it sparked, and to this day, I really don't know where it came from. I always say that God planted the seed within me, but it sparked this level of confidence in me that I never even thought I would have. And from that moment on, I made a promise and a pact with myself. I was like, I want to be a model. I want to be a lupus advocate. I want to be that girl that shows that you can still be beautiful with this disease. You can still master your dreams with this illness. Because, you know, a lot of people were telling me that I was going to be restricted the rest of my life. And some of that is still true. I'm restricted in a lot of ways, even to this day. But once being diagnosed with that, and then kind of, it woke my confidence up a lot. And it showed me who I can still be, even with this illness. And it's something that I'll never forget. You know, I was 15 years old. I was just kind of like getting into researching exercise and learning how to be healthy and keeping myself in a good state, because it's easy for lupus to put you in a kind of stagnant state of your life, to where you're not moving, you're not doing much, you're on bed rest. So you're not being as active as you want. And it just taught me how to navigate through life even after high school, and just kind of staying focused on my dreams while also staying focused on lupus and allowing them to kind of intertwine. So it really did help me find who I was as a person. I thought I knew before lupus, but I didn't. And it really helped me figure that out.
That's amazing. I want to take a quick break, and then I want to come back and talk about, when we spoke earlier, you talked about a love-hate relationship with lupus. I want to talk about that. And I want to talk about your modeling career and how the lupus has been a part of that for you. And of course, your lupus advocacy, which we're experiencing right here on this podcast. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Kay Daniels.
Lupus LA's Facebook Live Chat series connects leading lupus and health experts with our community to answer the most current and important questions. For more information, visit lupusla.org.
We are back on the Lupus LA podcast, Your Story, Our Fight. We're talking to Kay Daniels today. All right, we finished high school. We're going to now talk about the modeling career. And my first question is, to choose a career that is so about your physical appearance and about being able to have the energy to do photo shoots. And, you know, I know it's, the hours are crazy. The lights are crazy. I think it's a bold choice for somebody with a chronic illness. And I love that, because I think when people with chronic illnesses make bold choices, they do great things. So tell me about how that's been for you.
You know, it's really been an up and down situation, but the thing that pushes me the most is that I'm doing what I love. I found my passion for modeling, and I've never turned back. I've never second guessed it. I've never lost faith. I've never lost hope. And that's how I know that I'm on the right path, regardless of, you know, the icky days that I may get. It's really helping me to just stay true to myself. You know, because some people, you know, they pick their careers in life based off of the money, or based off of, you know, if everyone else is doing it, or if no one is doing it, then they choose not to, even though that's their passion. But with modeling, it's always made me happy being in front of the camera, even if I'm flaring, even if I'm having a hard day. You know, some days I would get so frustrated because, you know, maybe I would wake up and I'm not in my best, you know, health, or I wouldn't have many spoons, as some lupus patients would say. So it would hurt me. I would take it so personal. I would get so frustrated, and I would just be like, man, why can't I just live a normal life? You know, why can't I just feel normal and be normal? And it would really hurt. But I learned that this is all for a purpose. And this specific task has been given to me for a reason. And when I look at my modeling career, it's more than just me being pretty. It's more than just me, you know, being fashionable and taking nice editorial pictures. This is so that I can be a representation for others who have lupus, that you can still be beautiful. You can still execute this, like you said, bold task, even with feeling like horrible, or, you know, being tired or experiencing a flare-up or losing your hair, like what I had just went through. I had to start all over. And this is not my first time starting over with my hair. This is like maybe my fifth or sixth time, you know, shaving my head because of the effects that the flare had on my scalp and just the overall turmoil that my hair has taken. And I'm still going to do my photo shoots. I'm still going to model. I'm still going to take pictures. I'm still going to just remain confident in who I am. And that is the main purpose. And that's what drives me so much into still wanting to model, because I want to model that representation of just strength and resilience and being able to have the world accept me for who I am. This is how I'm coming and this is how I will be. And you're going to love me for it. And I want everybody else to have that same confidence within their lupus journey.
That comes through. It comes through this screen. I think you're a terrific example for other lupus patients, no doubt. And so tell me, when we talked earlier, I thought what you said about this love-hate relationship with lupus was really beautiful. So tell me, in your own words, sort of why you have a love-hate relationship with the disease. And I suspect that many of the lupus patients listening also have the same feeling.
Right. Well, you know, it's always easy to list the hate side of it and what makes me not wish I had it or wish I didn't have it, I should say. You know, the physical changes that come with it, the weight gain, the weight loss, the hair loss, the physical rashes that I get, the sunburn, bed rest, and having to kind of just stop and like pause life altogether. That can really take a toll on me. I'm not going to lie. I do have my sad days. I actually just recently went through a flare back in April of this year, and it was one of the worst flares that I've ever experienced. I lost an extreme amount of weight, and I was dealing with a rash that was like all over my face and my ears and my body, and my hair was falling out, and I was virtually crippled. I could not move without the help of a caregiver like my mom or my dad. I needed to use a cane or crutches just to walk. And I was on extensive amounts of pain medication just to function. Without that pain medication, I could not move. I could not function. It was a battle just to walk to the bathroom. So when you're in that type of debilitating state, especially when you're someone like me who's very enthusiastic and determined, and I'm always on go. I want to move. I want to be active. I want to do stuff. I want to, you know, work out. I want to have a photo shoot. I want to, you know, go out and network. I want to go to these events. And I felt like I was missing out on life, and I felt like I was running out of time. I want to make every day count. And when I have a lupus flare, when anyone has a lupus flare, they know they have to sit. They have to sit still. They can't move like they want. They can't, you know, interact with people like they want. They have to take it slow, take it easy, take their time. Someone like me, I want to move. So it really frustrates me when I get into those moments and I have to kind of pull myself out of that dark space, because it gets pretty dark mentally. Just feeling like you're kind of withering away with the wind. So there's definitely the hate part of it. But when it comes to loving lupus, it's been such a journey, such an eye opener for me, because it taught me self-love, taught me how to be here for myself in moments when others wouldn't, taught me how to understand myself in moments when others wouldn't, you know, in regards to just always changing and always being in these different phases of my life. Some moments I can hang out, some moments I can't, you know, some moments I do have these physical abilities, some moments I don't, you know, always wanting to work out and not always being able to do so, having to take more breaks than others. It taught me to love myself in every single phase and every single aspect. And I learned growing up that not everybody's going to do that. You know, the friends that I thought I had, I really don't have friends now, to be honest, you know, because there was just parts of my life that they didn't understand, or they weren't patient enough to understand or stick around for. You know, I still consider myself a caterpillar, and I'm still blossoming into the butterfly that I'm supposed to be. And some people didn't want to stay around for that blossoming. They just decided to, you know, part ways when they realized that I was kind of a needier friend. And I'm really not even that needy in some senses. I really try to still do things on my own. I'm kind of that stubborn lupus patient that doesn't want to take help. Like, no, I got it. I'll do it on my own, even though it's hurting me to do on my own. Because I didn't want to burden anybody. You know, lupus always made me feel like I was a burden sometimes. Even to my family this day, I always feel embarrassed to ask for help, or I feel, you know, burdened to do so because I know that I can do it on my own. And that disconnect between my mental and my physical, it really is the worst part of it for me, because mentally I know that I'm capable, and mentally I know that I can do it. And I'm strong enough. I'm smart enough. I'm wise enough. I'm determined enough. I'm diligent enough. I'm patient enough to do whatever task it is that I want. But physically I'm unable. And it's the biggest conundrum ever to not have your mind aligned with your body at that time. It's hard. But like I mentioned, it's taught me a lot about self-love, and it's taught me a level of resilience that I never thought I would master. Just in regards to constantly bouncing back from these flares. You know, I've had to do this so many times since my diagnosis, of just restarting my life, restarting getting a new job, restarting with my health, restarting my mental, you know, and just refreshing myself. I've had to do it over and over and over again. And as people have left, I've never left myself, and I've learned that I never will. I'll always have to remain true to myself, regardless of, you know, how it may feel. And I have to be proud of myself. I have to root myself on in days where it's hard to get up the stairs and I'm by myself, no one's around to help, you know, and I have to do these things to move on to the next step in my day. So it taught me to be proud of myself. I always, you know, self-affirmation. I'm proud of you, Kayla. You can do it. You mastered this. You got up those stairs. You know, you did it when you thought you couldn't. And so regardless of who's there for me and who's rooting me on, I will always have that confidence within myself, just coming from me.
I'm blown away by you. I think your insight is so valuable to the lupus community. What have you gotten out of being an influencer and being a part of the lupus? I don't want to say lupus influencer community, but the lupus community as a whole.
Well, it's opened a level of, like, it's opened a different, you know, kind of vault within my heart. Because I know how it feels to not have someone there for you. I know how it feels to be looked at as misunderstood and permanently misunderstood. You know, people are not trying to figure this out. I know how it feels to feel invisible, because a lot of people don't know what lupus is, even to this day. I've run into so many people who I tell I have lupus, and they're like, oh, what's that? You know, what do you deal with when that happens? You know, people know what cancer is. They know what diabetes is. They know the effects that it has on a person. They don't know what lupus is and how it affects a person and how debilitating it can really be. And that makes you feel like unimportant, or, like I said, invisible sometimes, when you have to try to explain to someone such a heavy turmoil that you feel on a daily. So being a lupus, I do call myself a lupus model, because I, like I said, want to represent what it's like to have lupus on my good and bad days. And it's given me a drive to really want to connect with other women, other men who have lupus, just other people of the lupus community, and let them know that they're not alone, because lupus really makes you feel alone. It isolates you. It makes you feel as though you'll never be a part of the rest of the world that you're looking out of the window to. It's hard. And I don't want anyone to feel the way I felt. I don't want people to feel alone. You know, I want them to know that they have someone there that is going through the same thing as them. And growing up, I always tried to find, you know, different lupus groups and, you know, different women or men of my age at the time that were going through the same thing. And I never did. It was so hard. I've never had a friend that had lupus also, and we could communicate and connect on the same things and the same issues and turmoils. Like, it's always been so hard to find other people out there. So that's why I'm trying to build my platform in a way to where people see me, everyone sees me, and I can connect little by little with the people in the different communities all over the United States, all over the world, and let them know, hey, I see you. I know you see me because of where I'm at within my career, but I see you also, even where you're at. And I know exactly how you feel, and you are not alone. And that's my main goal with this whole path of life that I'm taking.
Well, we are happy to have you on that path. I will do a plug for the, I think this is a, I don't usually do a lot of the plugs, but the Lupus LA support group system, which can be found at lupusla.org. Since the pandemic, everything's gone virtual. So really from anywhere in the world, you can connect with one of our support groups and find other people like yourselves, like Kay, to have those friendships. Cause I do think, connecting with other people in your community is so important to realize you're not alone, like you said. And, I thank you for being a champion for the lupus community. I think you're a role model, not just a model, you're a role model. And I wish you incredible success and good health as you go forward. And I know we're going to be talking again, and we're going to keep you involved in the Lupus LA community.
Thank you so much. I'm very grateful that you guys had the opportunity, you know, to speak with me and learn my story. I'm, like I said, I'm more than honored, and I'm excited for the future. So thank you once more for having me.
On behalf of the entire team at Lupus LA, we thank you for joining the Your Story, Our Fight podcast. Please tune in, spread the word, and come back for more inspiring lupus stories. I'm your host, Adam Selkowitz, wishing you good health, and to always remember, your story is our fight.